having everybody here tonight. Don't forget, Saturday we set our clocks forward. And so don't forget about that. Also, don't forget that we have a missionary coming in Sunday morning, a missionary to Romania, Brother Jim Morgan and his wife. I did get word that she fell and slipped on the ice there in Polson. And so she's hurt her ankle, and so she's kind of walking around with a walker. And so just keep her in your prayers. But they should be here. They'll be driving in Saturday. And so just keep them in your prayers and try to be here for that. I think you really enjoy Brother Jim Morgan. All right. Tonight, before we get started with the message, I do want to read our missionary letter from our missionary to Chile, Brother, the Hansons. He begins by saying, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications, and in thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." Psalm 143:1. He said the last 2 months back in Punta Arenas has been a sifting process for us. As the corn is shaken in a sieve, the chaff has fallen away, only to leave the grain that remains. He said, "We lost a few friends due to a new job in the United Kingdom, another one in Santiago. While some have chosen to live according to this world to fulfill the flesh and mind's desires, the separations have been sorrowful but needful. We continue to work here with those who desire to seek the Lord and that thirst for His word. The region is stuck in the transition of phase two, struggling to reopen, still in mandatory in-house quarantine for the weekends because the virus only lives during these times," he says. The weekends are busy with more campaigns to vaccinate all the essential workers and elderly, with a big push for all the teachers. The government wants to reopen the school starting March and April. This will mark 1 year since the city's lockdown that crippled the economy and destroyed the self-efficacy of man. With its stagnating infrastructure, the recovery has been painfully slow. Our job has continued during the week in distributing the gospel message on the streets and in the neighborhoods. When starting our new area, I had Marcella contact me to tell me how much she appreciated our efforts. She said that the Lord will give the increase in souls. She wants her neighborhood to have the same joy in the Lord that she has. She continues to pray for us during our mailbox distribution and cannot meet with us because of her work schedule. We met with a young couple named Marlon and Venezuela in Chile, and how they and their families have made Punta Arenas their home. This young couple loves the Lord and has a very clear testimony of salvation with a desire to be pleasing to God. Also, we continue to maintain our fellowship with Andres, Fabi, Nicholas, and their mother, Tatey. They have been a great encouragement and help towards us with some setbacks in Tatey's health. We hope to continue the fellowships very soon. Punta Arenas will be moving into phase three, and we are hoping that the weekend house lockdown will be lifted. My prayer in the immediate future is to open our home on Sunday for Bible study for those who can gather, knowing the timing and the economy of God is different from mine, and so I pray for direction in His timing for His glory. He says, pray for Adelio. As always, he is very faithful in Bible studies at our home, and he is a pleasure to have around. We love to see him laugh, and he will be starting the university again. We hope that he will continue to be fervent for the Lord. We ask that you continue to pray for our two boys back home as they continue their apprenticeships in trade school, electrical and HVAC. Both are desirous to serve in the ministry. Pray for the patience and timing in all matters. Also, could you continue to pray for Lisa and I and our language skills while reaching the lost? Thank you, Derek and Lisa Hansen. So continue to pray for them. Pray that maybe, as it is, we pray the same thing will happen here, but they'll be able to just kind of loosen up the lockdowns a little bit there so that he's able to go out and witness to more people and able to have a church more than what they're having right now. So just continue to pray for that. Also, don't forget, Sunday, March 21st, we'll have a church meeting. Our annual church meeting will be after the evening worship service, so make sure you put that on your calendar. All right, open your Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Certainly, we've been studying the book of Revelation on Saturdays, been doing that for almost a long time, about 2.5 years. But that's only every Saturday, and only during half the year, too, so really it's not that long, but it is. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, look if you would at verse 12. It says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth them and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Last week, we began looking in this last chapter of the last book in the Bible, because in this last chapter there are last things that are given. Last week we looked at some of these last things. For example, we saw that we see the last command given in the Bible. That is the command to worship God. That's a good command. Amen. That's the last one found in the Bible. Also, we saw the last principle given in the Bible. That's in verse 11 where it says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." Context there is the return of Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is basically, the principle is whatever condition you're in when the Lord comes back, that's the condition you're going to remain for all eternity. There are no second chances. When we die, we know there's no second chances. When the rapture happens, there's no second chance to get saved. And so that's what it's talking about here. Then we also saw that there is the last identification given of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. I point out to you last week that some Bibles have over in Isaiah chapter 14 has Lucifer named as the bright and morning star. But there's only one bright and morning star in your Bible, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we also saw last week that there are two last blessings that are given in the Bible. We also saw that a statement that begins with blessed you see those over in Matthew chapter 5. They are what's called the Beatitudes. But there are two last blessings given in the Bible. Verse 7 says, "Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." You know, and I might also add too, is blessed the person that keeps the saying of the whole thing. Amen. Also in verse 14 says, "Blessed are they to do his commandments." We saw that. Now tonight, we're going to continue in these last things that are mentioned in this chapter as we continue to search for these last things. In fact, there are eight altogether. We did four last week. And so one of the things that we're going to see tonight as we continue to study is we see the last invitation given in the Bible. Look, if you would, at verse 15. The last invitation. It says, "For without..." That means outside of the New Jerusalem. "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Now, if you want more on that, if you want a cross-reference for that, Isaiah chapter 66 is where you need to look at, because it appears in Isaiah chapter 66 that the lake of fire will be outside of the New Jerusalem so that others can look upon those who were disobedient to the Lord in fear. Again, you need to read that cross-reference, Isaiah chapter 66. All right, then it says in Revelation 22:16, it says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, bright and morning star." And then here's the invitation that God offers, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, in this last invitation that's given here, we see the word come. And then this invitation has been given many times throughout Scripture. For example, turn if you would over, hold your place here and turn over to Luke chapter 14. You're going to notice that over and over and over you have the Lord saying, come. He's inviting people. He's constantly inviting people. Every Sunday when we preach after the worship service, I invite people to get right with the Lord. I invite people to get saved, to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see a lot of inviting in the Bible. In Luke chapter 14, it's no different. In Luke chapter 14, look if you would at verse 16. It says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time and to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now this is a parable that Jesus gave, and that parable had to do with the Lord inviting everyone to come into the kingdom of God. He said, go out and tell everybody the feast is ready. All you have to do is come. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to bring anything. You don't have to bring any chips. You don't have to bring anything to the supper. It's already prepared. All you have to do is come. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do any works. Just show up. Now, I mean, that's a pretty good invitation, isn't it? But look at verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. You know, today it's the same way. Today the way of salvation has already been prepared. It was prepared by the Lord and he died on the cross of Calvary. So it's already been prepared. And the Lord says, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, if you want to sup with the Lord, all you have to do is come. That's all you have to do. But just as it was inside that parable in Luke chapter 14, so it is today. Salvation's a free gift. The gospel is simple. It's so easy for a person to be saved, and yet people continue to make excuses and not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I believe that's one of God's favorite words in the Bible is come. Now, I will tell you that there are some times in the Bible where God has or will told people to leave. Not to come, but to leave. But none of those times are good, okay? For example, he tossed the devil out of heaven when pride was found in him. Isaiah 14, 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? He told him, out, out. He also, if you remember, God told Adam and Eve to get out of the garden. Told them to leave. He didn't tell them to come in. He told them to leave. That's when the Bible says he sent them forth from the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had sinned. But ever since then, God has been inviting man to come and have fellowship with him. But there is going to come a time in the future that God will no longer say come. That's the reason right here at the end of Revelation chapter 22, the context is the Lord's getting ready to come back. Now, we're going to see that more here in just a minute as you get towards the end of the chapter. He's getting ready to come back. The last book of the 66 books of the Bible have been written. The last words have been spoken. And he's saying this, I'm giving you right now the opportunity to come. But there's a time coming that he won't give that opportunity anymore. You say, what are you talking about? There's a time coming that God will no longer say, come to the lost. He'll say, go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23 says this, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There he's not saying come. He's saying go. In Matthew 25, 41, it says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He says, depart, go. So God has and will say, go at times. But for thousands of years, God has said, come. And he still says, come today, and he's going to continue to say, come, up until a point. And once that point comes, he's not going to be saying, come anymore. God, if you remember, to show you just how much God has been inviting man, one of the greatest things that you'll ever read is when you read over in Genesis chapter 6, you know, the Lord had already told Moses that he was going to flood the earth, and he told Moses to build the ark. He told Moses to get all the animals, get ready to be on the ark. And then all of a sudden the rain started to come down. And it says this, it said, here's what God told Noah in Genesis 7:1. It says this. It says, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. How many of you caught that? He didn't say go into the ark. He said come into the ark. Then where would that put God at? In the ark. Ain't that good? I mean, if you think about that, I mean, he's in there. So that means he's with Noah and his family the entire time. It was an invitation to come. And so today, the same invitation to come is still extended to every single lost person. Jesus said in John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he's talking about in this last invitation. Verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And then it says, in the last part of the invitation, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Freely. Again, every time you see a word in your Bible, it is there because God wants it there. There are no idle words in the Bible. It isn't like the Lord's trying to find a way to fill up space. You know, one of the things when I used to go to college is when they would give me these long, long things to write, I would try to pick out the biggest words and I would try to, you know, repeat myself. And if I said something was really, 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 really tough, that's how I'd write it, just so I wouldn't have to put that many words in it. Idle words. You don't find that in the Bible, though. Every word there, God wants there. And notice he says, take the water of life freely. A person that's not a Christian today, God wants that person to have a free gift. You can't earn this gift. If you could earn it, it wouldn't be a gift. It'd be a wage. A gift is something that's given to you out of love. There are a lot of people today, especially in America, who can't accept the fact that God's given a free gift to somebody. We've been so taught and conditioned that if you get something, you have to work to get it. For example, you know, we make our kids work so that they get an allowance. My son, he works so he can get a paycheck. In other words, you do something and then you get something in return. That's the way we always thinking about it that way. That's the way we view all of it. And then all of a sudden, Lord just comes up. Listen, if I came up to you right now and I said, here's just $20, here, take it. The first thing that you would say, especially Brother John, the first thing you would say would be, what's the catch? Amen? Well, yeah. Why? Because we're not conditioned to take something as a free gift. There has to be a catch somewhere. There's no catch. The Lord says, listen, if you seek the water of life, seek it freely. It's free. It's a gift. I'm giving it to you. And there are a lot of people today that so can't handle that, that they still say, well, I still feel like I need to do my share. I still need to work for it. I still need to, you know, I need to do this or I need to do that. No. He did it all on the cross 2,000 years ago. All you have to do is call upon him and receive him. That's it. It's a free gift. But there are a lot of people that, you know, they'll say things like, you know, anything in life that you attain, you have to work hard in order to get it. Some people will say, you know, I made money the old-fashioned way. I earned it. And there are some people who have the attitude as, you know, if I'm going to earn, I'm going to earn my way into heaven. I'm going to keep the commandments. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to love people. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do all this stuff if it kills me, and I'm going to earn my salvation. I don't care how good you think you are. The Bible says very plainly that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Now that means the most righteous person that you could think of, their righteousness is as filthy rags to God. You say, well, how could that be? Because you're comparing yourself to the wrong people. You may be the most righteous person in this church tonight. You may say, boy, compared to the pastor, I mean, I look like a rose. Maybe you do. But you ain't comparing yourself to me. Who are you comparing yourself to? Jesus Christ, who was sinless. Anybody sinless in here? Well, then guess what? We all got a big problem then. And so that's the reason you can never work your way into heaven. Salvation's free. Jesus said, whosoever will let him take of the water of life freely. God says, if you want to be saved, come. If you're thirsty, come. How are you to come? Well, you know that song that we sometimes sing, just as I am? That's how you come. That's how you come. When he gave that invitation over there to come to the feast, he didn't tell them to dress up to come. He didn't tell them to make sure that they wash the car first before they come. He just said, get over here and enjoy the feast. But there are a lot of people that will say, you know, when I get better, when I think I get my life cleaned up, when I think I can live it, then I'll come. Others will say, when I get to the point where, you know, where I can live like a Christian and be a good Christian, then I'll come. I'm going to tell you right now, we all struggle in that area. We all struggle in that area. Last invitation in the Bible is come. Then we see the next thing, and that's the last warning in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, look at verse 18. It says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The last warning that we find in the Bible is this. Don't add or subtract to the word of God. Don't add or subtract to the word of God. And he's talking about Revelation, but I believe that this warning can be applied to the entire word of God. I say that because last week, if you remember, we saw the possibility of this book, when it says this book in Revelation, that it could be referring to the entire New Testament. Okay, and I gave you a verse on that. But we are not to add to this book. There are a lot of people who add to this book. A lot of people. Certainly there are those who try to supersede the words of the Bible with the words of another book. I don't know if you have ever had this happen to you or not, but I've talked to Mormons before, and I'll point out something in the Bible, and immediately they'll say, well, now, in order to understand truly what that means, you've got to read this Book of Mormon. No, I don't have to read that. When he says that, he's saying this supersedes what that says. That's adding to the Word of God. You can't add to the Word of God. You have a completed Word of God. You can't add to it. There is nothing that supersedes these words, nothing. And so the warning is that we are not to add. Certainly there are some people today who add to the Word of God. But you know, they're not the only ones who add to the Word of God. Sometimes well-meaning Christians out there that try to make the Bible say something that it doesn't say. And you know, if you listen to people, you're going to hear this a lot. For example, how many of you ever heard somebody say, well, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness? Now, I do believe in good hygiene. I mean, I'm all for it. And I think that all people should take showers. Absolutely. But the Bible never says cleanliness is next to godliness. For you to say, well, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness, that's adding to the Word of God. Because it doesn't say that. Here's another one. Well, the Bible says that God helps those who help themselves. Well, you know, we should all do our part, and the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat and all that stuff. I understand that. But the Bible does not say God helps those who help themselves. Doesn't say that, okay? So that's another thing. We need to be careful not to add to the Word of God. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. But then there's also a warning about taking away from the Word of God. Now, if you'll remember, and I'm not going to go in detail about it, but if you remember, if you go all the way back there in Genesis, when the serpent came and tempted Eve, not only did he question the Word of God, she ended up adding to the Word of God because God never told her that she couldn't touch the tree. That's what she said, though. And so you see an example of people adding the Word of God, subtracting the Word of God, and denying the Word of God back in Genesis chapter 3. And we're warned about that. We're warned about taking away from the Word of God. Now, there are people today who remove words and phrases and verses and even sometimes entire chapters of the Bible. For example, in many different versions of the Bible today, the words Lord and Christ have been removed in verses identifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing that takes away from his deity and from his authority. He is the Lord, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he has deity and authority. And when you take away those words, then you're taking that away. Give you another example. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. I'm sure you've all seen this before, but I may as well just show it to you anyway. I mean, we got plenty of time. Acts chapter 8. All right, Acts chapter 8. Look if you would as soon as I get there. Hold on. All right, Acts chapter 8. And look at verse 35. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, what you have there is you have the Ethiopian eunuch standing on the side of the road reading Isaiah chapter 53. He's reading that. He doesn't quite understand it. And so the Lord sends Philip, he's a deacon, sends him over there to preach to this Ethiopian eunuch, to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he does. It says in verse 35, he opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Verse 36, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water, what doth hindereth me to be baptized? In other words, he's saying, I want to be baptized, what do I need to do first? What hinders me from doing that? Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How many of you would agree that's a pretty important verse right there? I mean that's the gospel right there. That's him getting saved right there. That's something he has to do before he gets baptized right there, which makes it consistent with the rest of the New Testament. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch and he baptized him. Verse 38. There are versions of the Bible that take the entire 37th verse out of their Bible. And usually when you question it, they'll say, well, it's found in another place in the Bible. Yeah, but it's not found there. You know what that is? When you take out an entire verse, that's called taken away from the Word of God. And I'll tell you this, folks, I would hate to be the one that had to stand before the Lord and answer for that one. I mean, to take anything out of the Word of God be one thing, but that verse, my goodness, man, not that one. That's what they did. Well, godly folk. I'm just going to tell you that there's nothing godly about that, okay? But it's taken away. People have been subtracting, taken away from the Word of God, okay? And so certainly there are people who have been taken away from the Word of God, and there's a clear warning for those people. But in a sense, many Christians are guilty of taking away from the Word of God as well. Maybe they don't literally take away from the Word of God, but they act as if parts of the Bible aren't there. In other words, they'll avoid certain scriptures because it shows them to be guilty of sin. Or they'll pretend like this verse isn't here because they know that they do that all the time. Listen, folks, the whole Bible, you need to pay attention to the whole Bible. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Take it as it is. And for what it says. So there's the last invitation. There is the last warning. Then we also see the last promise. Look at verse 20. It says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Last promise that's made in the Bible is the promise of Jesus Christ himself. And he promises this. He says, I am coming soon. I'm coming quickly. Now, Jesus has made this promise before, many times actually. Probably the one that we all remember the most is over in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Over and over and over again, he talks about coming. If you say, well, I just don't believe Jesus Christ is going to come, then you got to throw out a whole lot of your Old Testament then, because you know what the number one subject in that Bible is, honestly? The Lord coming back and sitting on the throne. That's what you see it over and over and over and over. You see types of it over and over and over. You read it, the context of it, you constantly see where the Lord is going to come back. And at the very end, he gives a promise and he says this, we're at the end of the book. We're at the very end of Revelation, last book in the Bible, and I've got a few things to say to you, and this one's a pretty important one. Behold, I come quickly. Boy, I'll tell you what, of all promises to give in that Bible, you think about this, folks. Do you realize what we've talked about tonight? Think about this. He said, don't add or subtract from the Word of God. He says that I'm going to come quickly. And if you look at before he says that, he says, whoever wants to come, Whoever wants to come, don't add or subtract the word of God, and behold, I come quickly. You know what he's telling you in this summary? He's saying, listen, if a person not saved, you better get saved today. And that gospel is very clear. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. If you want the life, if you want the water of life freely, take it. Come, he says, come. But behold, I come quickly. And so he makes this promise, and it's the last promise he made in the Bible. It's like Jesus saying, of all the promises that I've made to you in the Bible, I've got one last promise I want to give you, and it's the most important one of all, and that is the promise that I am coming again. Now notice here that Jesus actually makes that same promise three times in this chapter. Verse 7, he says, behold, I come quickly. Verse 12, he says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then in verse 20, says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. I think he kind of wants you to get the idea. Remember, we in the past, we've talked about when the Lord says something twice, you better pay attention. When he says it three times, you really need to pay attention, because he's telling you over and over and over. Listen, for any person who has read their Bible and understood it, there should be no doubt in their mind that Jesus Christ is going to come. It should not shock anybody when he comes. Now, when he comes, yes, but the fact that he is coming shouldn't shock any of us. None of us should be surprised when he comes back. And you say, well, people's been saying for thousands of years that he's going to come back. Well, the Bible talks about scoffers in last days that'll say that very thing over in the book of 1 Peter. But it was, you know, if you think about this, it was soon, about 2,000 years ago when these words were written. And there were people then that were looking for him to come. And don't you know that it's 2,000 years sooner now? Now, people say, well, people have been saying for thousands of years, that's true, they have. But you can't get past the fact that we're 2,000 years closer to the return of Jesus Christ today and when this thing here was written. Amen? And so it's sooner now than it ever has been, so we need to be ready. He said, I come quickly. And then finally we see the last prayer of the Bible, which is associated with the last promise. We see the attitude in this prayer that every Christian should have. This prayer is prayed by John, even though in the verse, it's talking about the Lord is actually starting to talk, but in the end of it, it switches over to John. Sometimes that'll do that in a verse, and you got to pay attention who's doing the talking. Because Jesus said in verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. So he's telling you what Jesus said. That's what he did right there at the beginning of verse 20. And then John himself says, even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. John is praying and saying to the Lord, I want you to come back now. How many of you could honestly pray that prayer tonight? To say, Lord, I want you to come back now. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I know I could. And it would be, if it were to happen tonight, I'm just going to tell you, it would be the best night that you could ever imagine. I mean, it's going to be great from here on out. But when the time comes and we meet him in the air, I'm going to tell you, folks, it is going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And the best part about it is we would be face-to-face with the Lord. That's just going to be tremendous. I mean, I just can't. Every time that I think about it, I always read over there in Revelation chapter 1 when John describes Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that's the Jesus I'm going to see. If that rapture were to happen tonight, that's a Jesus that you and I would see. And I look forward to it. And I mean, that's the reason it's called our blessed hope. It's something that we should all look forward to. But sadly, there are a lot of Christians tonight who could not honestly pray that prayer. There are some Christians who are so attached to some of the things down here on this earth that they want to enjoy them for a little bit longer before Jesus comes back. And so some of them say, you know, I want Jesus to come back, but, you know, I'd rather him delay, not me. I mean, come on, let's go, let's get out of here, you know. But if a person today says, I'd like Jesus to delay a little bit because I've got some things I'd like to do on earth, then I don't think your heart's right. Why? If your heart was right, you would desire to be with your Savior. You would. But sometimes we get to the point where we don't desire it. We get so caught up. I remember one time a person told me, he said, you know, I want the Lord to come back, but you know, I'd like to have a family and kids too. Well, I understand that, but what does the Lord say? He says, you're supposed to love him. You're supposed to hate your family compared to him. He comes first. And so that's not a good excuse. There are some Christians today who quake in their boots at the thought of the Lord coming back because they know they aren't living right. And they know that there are people that they have not witnessed to yet, so they could not pray that prayer. I've heard some Christians say things like, you know, it's going to be a great time when the Lord comes back, but I wish that he would delay a bit because there's still a lot of people out there that need to be saved, and their souls need to be saved. Well, listen, you need to remember, for one thing, you got to understand who God is. Would you agree that God knows everything? Now, listen. Do you think that he's going to know the last person who gets saved in this age? Yes, he will. His timing is perfect. There is no way that a person could today say, well, I wish the Lord would delay because there are still people need to be saved. You know what you're doing? You're questioning the Lord's wisdom and you're questioning the Lord's timing. The Lord is perfect in everything that he does. When he comes, it will be at the perfect point. But when a person says, well, I wish you'd delay, what he basically would say is the Lord come back, he'd say, Lord, you should have delayed because there's still people down here that need to be saved. Well, what a thing to think about. But that's what you're basically thinking when you say, I wish the Lord would delay his coming. You're saying the Lord doesn't know what he's doing. He does know what he's doing. He knows everything. He knows the heart of men. He knows who's going to be saved. He knows all of that. He's all-knowing. We just got to trust God. And I'll tell you this, when he comes, it's going to be the perfect timing and I am ready to go. You should be ready to go. Every Christian should be able to pray, even so come Lord Jesus, with a big smile on your face. And actually mean it. We all should. And don't ever get to the point where you think that the Lord would be unjust when he came because there's still people need to be saved. Hey, listen, the truth of the matter is this, the Lord does not owe us anything. I mean, he could have wiped away all of mankind the second Adam ate that fruit. He could have done it and he'd been justified. Why? The wage of sin is death. He'd have been justified in doing it. It's only by his grace that we've made it this long. Remember what the Bible says? It says that he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He is long-suffering, but he ain't going to wait forever. That's when he said, behold, I come quickly. Now, we all should be looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Paul was one who did that. Turn if you would over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and then we'll close here in just a minute. But 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul makes it very clear that all of us should be looking for the Lord to come. We should want him to come. We should be able to pray that prayer, even so come Lord Jesus. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, look if you would at verse 6. Paul says this. Now he's getting ready to be beheaded. He's at the end of his life here. And he says, for I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. When he's talking about departure, he knows that he's getting ready to depart this earth and go up to the third heaven to be with the Lord. For I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, what does that tell you? It tells me that the Lord wants you to look forward to his coming. The Lord wants you to be able to pray that prayer, even so come Lord Jesus. So much so that he's going to reward you if you love his appearing. Can you say that you would love to see the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? I would. If you've been laying up treasures in heaven when he comes back, not only will you love him, but you'll love his appearing. So John prays in this last prayer probably the greatest request ever prayed, and that is, even so come Lord Jesus. So in this last chapter, we've seen eight things. We saw the last command, the last principle, the last identification of Jesus Christ, the last blessings of the Lord. We saw the last invitation of the Lord, the last warning, the last promise, and the last prayer. And then the book ends. No more. Nothing more to add. Can't add to it. Can't take away from it. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and stop there tonight. And we will take prayer requests. We need to keep Sister Barnhart's father-in-law, Leroy, in your prayers. He's in the hospital in the ICU. He has a blood clot in his brain, and so we need to keep him in prayer. They're trying to give him medicine to thin that out, but he does have swelling of the brain, so we need to keep him in prayer. Leroy Mattern is his name. Continue to pray for Tony Ground's brother, Sheldon. I have not heard an update on him yet. Continue to pray. I actually got an update from Ed Melvin. He called his son, he talked to his son again, and he said his son is doing better, still doing better than he was even last week. But he still needs prayer because he's still got a little bit of a cough. But the pastor we've been praying for, Brother Reinhardt down there in Parker, Florida, he went to the doctor and the news is not good. The cancer has really spread. They found some on his spine. It spread out past where they found it to begin with. And so he is stage 4. So we need to pray for him. Pray for Brother Jim Morgan coming in, missionary to Romania on Saturday. Pray for our services on Sunday. Pray that that we have quite a few people on Easter. We'd like to be able to see all the seats filled. That way people can hear the gospel. That way, there are a lot of people, they only come to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter. And, it really doesn't matter whether you think that's right or not, but the truth of the matter is that they're sitting here, they get to hear the gospel. And the Word of God does not come back void. If they're saved, it's going to have an impact on them. If they're lost, it's going to have an impact on them. So pray that people will come. The people who don't even normally come to church, that the Lord will just move them to come. And because if they come, they're going to be able to hear what the Word of God has to say. And that's a great opportunity. Let's pray for that. Let's also pray that this COVID stuff ends so we can get more people coming back to church, more people able to teach and help out with the kids. It is getting less and less. I mean, you watch it every day. I mean, it's getting less and less. I saw, I think it was either yesterday or this morning, that there's only 58 people in the hospital in the entire state. There's just over 1,200 people with it in the entire state. And so, I mean, we're doing really well. But we want this thing to go ahead and move on out of here so that way we can get back to normal and people come back to church and have youth rallies and all this stuff going on that we haven't been able to do. And not only that, but, our monthly meal every fifth Sunday we have the potluck. It'd be nice to have that again, wouldn't it? Now, just to let you know, the first potluck that we have, I'm going to be smoking a brisket on that one. And so it'll be pastor's treat to everybody. So be in much prayer about that, amen? Okay, so also pray for all of our missionaries. Pray for our leadership of this country. And that's from the top all the way down to the bottom. Pray for Brother Phil, Sister Helen. Brother Phil, as soon as he gets the required days after his second shot, he said he's coming to church. And he wants to get Sister Helen to come with him too. And I think he's figured out a way to get her into the van. And so, because she really wants to come too. And that would be such a blessing to see them two here. So continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for Brother Kenny. And again, as soon as things continue to clear out, we are going to have the memorial service for Sister Marcy. That is going to be coming up. But I will let everybody know when that time is right. And we'll probably have one for Myra as well. I have to talk to Brother Walt about that. So, but keep Brother Walt in your prayers as well. What else? Yes.